Good morning, everyone. I got to tell you, John, as you were reading Job, if I had to imagine what God sounded like when he was talking to Job, that'd be pretty close in my imagination. There's a story told of one summer night during a severe thunderstorm. A mother was tucking her small son into bed. And she was about to turn the light off when she heard this trembling voice say, "Mommy, will you stay with me in my room tonight?" And smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, "I'm sorry, son, but I have to sleep in Daddy's room tonight." And there was a long silence followed by a broken, shaking voice saying, "The big sissy." When I was growing up, I always had a fascination for storms. And I still do to some degree. The storm you see there was taken, it was posted on Facebook this week by a friend who lives in Fort Myers, and that was taken Tuesday night. And when I was growing up in Central Florida, if I saw that, my face would be in the window watching for the next lightning strike just to see what was going on. As a matter of fact, I record my sermons on my phone, so I set it up so I can send it to our webmaster who can then put it on the internet. But there was a flash that came up that said, "Lightning in your area." And I said, I guess I should go to the window and start looking, right? But I loved watching storms. However, we also learn to respect storms and the fury that these kind of storms can bring. We who live in Florida know that all too well. We can almost set our clocks by our daily storms with the summer sea breezes of the peninsula. When I was younger, my grandfather would often take me out fishing in the summer months when school was out. And sometimes we go out in some of the larger lakes around Polk County, this county I lived in. And of course, we didn't have radar apps and cell phones then, and we kept a constant eye on the sky around us as we were fishing, because waves on a big lake can creep up very quickly in the advance of a coming storm. But it's like that wherever we grow up, isn't it? Whether we grew up in a snowy area of the country or in the desert heat or in Tornado Alley, most are taught from an early age to respect the elements and take precautions when needed. But there are other storms out there as well. Sometimes we forget about the spiritual storms that we also face in life. Because it's also important that we prepare our spiritual being as much as we would prepare and care for our physical being. In handling these storms in life, I see three things from our readings this morning that we heard. One is faith, one is obedience, and the other is fear. So let's take a look at what's going on here. In our gospel reading, Jesus has just finished teaching on a series of parables, and he is exhausted. He is physically drained, and he needs sleep. Ministering to people can be draining. I used to think, even as a young adult, why are pastors so tired on Sunday afternoons? All they did was preach a couple of sermons. Now I understand. So they get in a boat and cross to the other side, and Jesus does what anyone who is exhausted does. He takes a nap. He falls asleep. But what happens next is probably the worst thing that can happen for a fisherman. Getting caught in a storm. Not just any storm, but a violent storm. The Sea of Galilee sits in a basin, and storms can come up very quickly in the daytime. Because of this, the fishing is usually done in the evening or at night. However, this storm is a nighttime storm, and the disciples begin to panic, and fear sets in. Some of these men, as you know, are experienced fishermen. They're professionals in their field. They respected the elements. They know what this could mean in the natural. They begin to think the worst, their death. Their ability to cope with the situation is beyond what they can control. And they imagine, they just can't imagine Jesus sleeping through all this. So they wake him up from this perfectly good nap. "Teacher, don't you care about us?" He sits up and he says just three words. "Peace, be still." The sea calms. And the storm dies. What I find fascinating about this passage is what happens next, is that in one moment, they were all this turmoil and fear of losing their lives. And after Jesus did what he did, we read this. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him?" Here is God, a God encounter that goes beyond their experience and reasoning. He controlled the elements, something they have probably only heard about from ancient scriptures. We read about it in the Psalms today. This awesome power of the storm, harnessed by just a few words from Jesus, "Peace, be still." Maybe it hasn't sunk in who it is they have in the boat with them. This is not a conquering Messiah who came with a sword in his hand. This isn't just a teacher with some nice words to say. This is the second person of the Trinity. This is God incarnate, the creator of the universe. And he is here to conquer something far greater than any sword could conquer. That is the human heart. So he asks a couple of questions. "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Nothing can dampen one's faith like fear can. There's a huge example of that in our Old Testament reading. Job had another kind of battle that he was dealing with, a battle from within. Job had been afflicted with all these kinds of torments that you recall from the passage. Everything was taken from him. He's got these festering sores on him. A devout man of God, he was being pushed to the limit by Satan. He and his friends are struggling with the issues of life, of what all of this means. And in his torment and disparity, he begins to think that maybe death is the best way out of this situation. And Job feels lost, and his humanness, his faith is beginning to slip. And then in the midst of all of that torment and doubt is this gripping his heart, God answers, "Job, where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. On what were its footings set or were laid? Who laid the cornerstone? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb?" And God continues in his dialogue with Job and his friends about creation. And Job was getting all of this misinformation about God and even his own life. It must be Job. "What did you do, Job?" But God intervenes with truths about himself that Job could not even fathom. And Job repents as God touches the deepest core of his being. He said, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted." Job said, "I used to hear you, now I see it." Job stood on his faith despite the opposition. And God restored Job in marvelous ways and beyond. Through both of these lessons, one can see two issues at work: obedience and faith. Job was pushed to the limit by the enemy. Though he questioned and even got angry, he remained obedient even though his faith was shaken. The disciples were obedient when Jesus said, "Take me over to the other side." They all got into the boat, but as the storm began to overtake them, their faith began to get shaken. What does all this say to us today? I think in many ways, we are indeed like little ships in the sea of life. We're out there doing what God has given us, And all of us have a direction to go that he gives us if we're listening and if we are obedient to what he's calling us to do. But there are also storms that come along. These storms can take effect as a direct attack of the enemy, as in Job's case, or it may be just something that comes across our path, as may have been the case with the disciples, although some theologians think that this might have been a direct attack by Satan on Jesus. Either way, we need to continue to be obedient to our call. We all have a call that God is placing in our lives or has placed. And we need to be steadfast in our faith, reading God's word, praying, and seeking his direction in our lives. We have all probably had some Job-like experiences and have all probably questioned God through it, and that's okay. As long as we remember, he is the one in control, despite what we may be experiencing or feeling. He will not take his hand off of us, though sometimes it feels awfully dry. I'm sure many of us have had similar experiences when you least expect it and your faith is shaken. This doesn't say that tragedy doesn't happen to Christians. It does. Jesus faced it. The early church faced it. And none of us are immune to it. There is evil also in the world whose sole purpose is to spread chaos. But even in our death, our hope is still with Christ, as he continues to call us into the direction he's calling us. Our direction is to spend eternity with him if we know him. We don't know what is around the corner in our lives, what storm may be brewing. We fight the storms of culture every day that would try to move us away from God's grace and God's peace. We know that God doesn't create chaos. Evil creates chaos. But we who know and love the reality of Christ know this. We know that in Christ there is hope. In him there is truth. In him, there is peace beyond our understanding. What we need to do is this. We need to be obedient to the call that God has given us through the scriptures and through prayer. Allow our faith to be strengthened as we walk that path that he has given us. And not allow fear to drive us away from that path. Our gospel lesson has a unique parallel in the Old Testament from the book of Jonah. Jonah was given the task to go preach to Nineveh, but he refused and tried to flee from God on a ship because he didn't think the people of Nineveh deserved the word of God. But God knew their hearts were ready, but he rebelled. He said, I'm not going to those folks. Hopefully we know the story of Jonah by now, but here is the irony between the storm that Jonah faced and the disciples faced. Two boats, two storms. Jonah was running from God out of disobedience. He literally got thrown into the storm so God could get his attention to carry out his purpose. Jesus rebuked his storm. He knew what he was about. He was about the Father's business. Nothing was going to deter that. Now hear this. No matter what you face today, God can have his hand on you if you really, really let him. No matter what the enemy throws our way from the outside, no matter what we might be struggling with on the inside, God is bigger. Paul reminds us from his second letter to Corinthians, do not lose heart. Our inner self is being renewed. That means it is being made stronger. Do we understand the power Christ has given us to do his work? You can listen to all the pundits in the news on what we can do to make a world a better place, to make our nation a better place, to make our cities a better place. But trust me, all of that begins with the very place that God indeed began to do it, in the human heart. That's where it begins. the very heart of every man, woman, and child. Who rules your heart today? What storm are you facing today? Do we understand that the same power that Jesus used to calm the storm is given to us to do his will? It's not power that we would or can use for selfish gain. Simon the sorcerer tried to do that and failed miserably. It is a power of the Spirit working through us to do his will, so we can stand firm and not fear when we're faced with the storm. So we can be obedient despite the pressure to do what is contrary to God's will. So we can have the measure of faith needed to confront whatever issue we find ourselves in. Job didn't give up. The disciples didn't give up after they were filled with God's Spirit at Pentecost. I say to you today, don't give up. By his Spirit, Christ is there with you. If you have accepted him into your life, he will not ever leave you. We can have the assurance that despite the storms that come our way, we can carry out the call that he has given all of us if we let him. And we are obedient to his word and walk in faith believing. We can with confidence say, "Peace, be still." May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the call that you placed in our lives and the direction that you have for each person in this place. Father, I ask that you would move among us, Lord God, by your Spirit as we walk through this life that you have called us into. Father, that any storms that we come against, that we know that you are there walking us through it, that we can indeed say, "Peace, be still," and allow your Spirit to calm whatever is there. So, Father, I ask that we not be controlled by fear, that we not be controlled by the issues in life that come our way, that you will handle it with us, Lord God, as we walk through those things that come our way. So, Father, I thank you that you are always there with us as we invite you into our lives, as we ask for you to be the pilot of our lives, Lord God. And I thank you so much for that. And I thank you that for that for each person here. And as we reach out to others beyond this place, may that be the call of every Christian in this community, every Christian in this nation. Father, help us have ears to hear, to walk us through, to be used mightily by you. And I thank you, Father, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.